Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Over the course of last week and yesterday, thousands of fans made their way to the Enterprise Center. They were there to see some of the best skaters in the world at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. And not only were their national champions crowned, an Olympic team was named that will compete in Milan next month. Here to talk about some of the highlights and what it meant for St. Louis are two STLPR staffers who covered the events. Brian Munoz is our visuals editor, and Alex Hoyer is the executive producer of this show. Welcome, both of you, back to the program.
Glad to be back.
So, Brian, let's start with you. You spent a lot of time at Enterprise Center over the week, and you weren't just shooting event for us, but you were working for NPR as well. What is a storyline that you were following?
Yeah, there's so many storylines, which I think is something I learned about this activity, which I really knew little to nothing about before. Of course, you have your big names like Ilja Malinin, who's nicknamed the Quad God because he is just a perennial spinner on ice, and folks like Amber Glenn and Alyssa Liu on the women's side that just took the ice by storm. But I think the storyline of the week was that of Maxim Nalimov, who competed and placed third in the men's event. And this is his first national since both of his parents were killed last year when an American Airlines regional jet collided with a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter over the Potomac River as they were on their descent to Ronald Reagan International Airport there in D.C. And that was right after this event last year, which was held in Wichita, Kansas. So him making the team was huge. It was a point of conversation, I think, throughout. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And of course, there's other smaller anecdotes. You know, Sonia Helmer is a New York skater, and she recorded the sound of her choreography on the ice and overlaid it to her music. So that was really creative. And I really thought that Jacob Sanchez was notable. He's the third alternate on the men's side on the Olympic team, a Puerto Rican skater, and he's one of the few Latinos in the activity. And, you know, being named to the team is a huge deal. He spoke to media following his performances about the importance of representation, and that's been an issue that U.S. figure skating has really tried hard to combat. So it was great to see him there on the podium as well.
Mm-hmm. Alex, how about for you?
Brian has mentioned a couple of those, but I'll tag along to something said about Max Nalimov, which was going into yesterday when they named the Olympic team, there was some bit of uncertainty about who would make the men's team because Max Nalimov was fourth in the short program and in the free skate, but he finished 900ths of a point higher than fourth place. So it was very slim margin, and U.S. figure skating does not need to take who finished 1, 2, and 3 to name to the Olympic team, but they did in this instance. So that was one. And then to tag off of what Brian said about Ilja Malinin, who's known as the Quad God, I think one of the big storylines going in was, would he meet the expectations that people had for him? And he did. I mean, would you agree, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he literally was flipping on the ice. And
He did a backflip.
Yeah. And I think the thing that people mentioned throughout, you know, both the judges that I was sitting by, you know, and they were just watching, they weren't judging the event, but they said Ilja is really on a league of his own. And I think it's a question of, is there anyone in the international community that can step up to meet him? You know, in the men's short skate, he was almost a clear 30 points over second place.
Wow.
Well, and to add to that, I got the scores between 1 and 2 from the final when they calculate both the short and the free. And Malinin had 324.88, which was nearly 60 points higher than second place. So that really just illustrates that he is really in a league of his own.
Mm-hmm. When Ilja was performing, was there a perceptible difference sort of in the atmosphere?
There were signs that said Malin in 2028. Mm-hmm. The fans just were going crazy. But I would say, you know, he's kind of the marquee name. But, you know, looking at the time, second place, Jason Brown, people were also just enthralled with his performance. And it was just, you know, it got better and better and better as the evening went on. And I think you could really see that in the fans and their reactions to everything.
Well, and I'll say in terms of fan reaction, I think that they really got on board with some of the women competitors. For example, Alyssa Liu had Lady Gaga as part of her choreography, and the fans were clapping along as it was going on. And it was just, it was quite a show.
Mm-hmm. Now, this morning, Alex, your story published at stlpr.org, and you went beyond athletics and you focused on what the championship means for St. Louis. What was your focus? What are some of the things that you covered?
Well, you're exactly right. People can go anywhere they want to see what happened with the athletics, with the scores, but I was focusing on what it meant for St. Louis. And one of the storylines also was, would the event meet the expectations that not only figure skating had for it, but also the St. Louis Sports Commission, which is in charge of bidding for these big events like they did for the Frozen Four, like they do for NCAA championships. And I talked to them afterwards, to Mark Schreiber, who's the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, and he said that it surpassed their expectations, that there were 93,000 fans that made their way to Enterprise Center for this. And I also talked with Matt Farrell, who's the head of U.S. figure skating, after the event was over, and he just raved about the St. Louis community that put this show on. So that was one thing. The other thing is that I was focusing on what this competition could mean for St. Louis, in that it gave so many people an opportunity to have a part of it. And so I talked with two 10-year-olds who are part of a local figure skating club who were sweepers. These are the kids who you see on the ice that pick up the stuffed animals that fans will throw on the ice as a way to show their appreciation. And so these young kids were engaged. And then in terms of the excitement for the city, I spoke with two former world-class athletes. Pauline Lee is a St. Louis University professor who competed for Taiwan in the 88 Olympics. And she said that this could really be a spark for the future on energizing kids to become involved in figure skating, and could really help promote St. Louis as a place where figure skating can become prominent.
Mm-hmm. In recent memory, I mean, is there anything, Alex, that seems to, you know, compare insofar as the excitement that people have had and potential for St. Louis via an athletic event that was held here?
The last time I covered events at Enterprise Center was during the Blues Stanley Cup run in 2019, and so there was definitely excitement about that. But I would actually throw that to you, Brian, because you cover more sports than I do.
Yeah, I would say just this last spring we had the NCAA Frozen Four. Western Michigan took home their first men's national title, and the excitement around that was palpable. And I think, you know, you look ahead to this March, St. Louis is hosting the postponed first and second rounds of the NCAA March Madness tournament. So I think sports are really a conduit to bringing people and exposing people to the city. And I think you saw that in the response from city leaders, business leaders, the folks from the Sports Commission, and really trying to unite folks around, hey, we can do this right. This can be a destination for you, and hopefully have some people fall in love with the community in the meanwhile.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned earlier, you know, coming to figure skating somewhat anew, and you did kind of a photo essay. And speaking of the plushies that were tossed onto the ice, there is an image of one that you captured. Visit stlpr.org to look at those photos. But what was it that you were trying to get with your camera?
Yeah, I think like with any bigger sporting event, there are a lot of restrictions around where you can go, where you can't go. So that makes a little bit of a challenge when trying to make creative and different images and the person standing next to you or, you know, seven people down the row. But I was really looking for emotion, color, moments, shapes. So one of my favorite images was from a couple in the ice dance category who was dancing to Madonna's Vogue. And I went to the top of the bleachers, or I guess the seats, that is. We don't have bleachers at Enterprise Center. They're seats. And photographed with a long lens down in just this like weird contorted kind of shape that they had made during the performance. So I think stuff like that, but also, you know, the sweepers waiting to go on the ice, the crowds, the exhibition performance that we saw yesterday, just really trying to get the essence of what is the environment like in this space that goes beyond what's going on the ice, which is incredible. But also, as Alex alluded to, all the people that came out and all of the fans and all of the volunteers and the workers and just trying to encapsulate all of that in one post.
Mm-hmm. On a technical note, we talked about the backflip that Liam Mallinen did. I mean, I would imagine that trying to keep your focus as you are watching this feat unfold on the ice can be difficult. But some of these spins are extremely quick, you know, the revolutions in the air. What kinds of challenges, you know, does that present for you as a photographer? And were you learning things on the fly?
Oh, 100%. I don't know most of these people's programs. And after the first couple of nights, I mean, we were leaving probably midnight, 1 a.m, I would go home and try to find their free skate programs and trying to map out where they were going to be and see if they by chance would come into the area that I was assigned to. So Ilya, like the first, for the short performance, that is, I totally missed the peak backflip. And I just told myself, oh man, I, you know, had a really long lens on. He was like right in front of me. So that provides a challenge. So you adjust, of course, as you go on. But then you also have to take into consideration, we are there to document what's going on, of course. But sometimes when you're so concentrated, when you're, you know, up in the air doing a quad or something, you don't always have the most expressive face, to say the least.
Right.
So, you know, we also keep that in mind. We're looking for ways to highlight the athletic ability of these folks. While still, I think, keeping some of that in mind.
Right,
well,
right.
And as far as the backflip is concerned, I think it was, it was banned by figure skating and international competing bodies for decades, but it was only allowed again in 2024, I think. And so I had never seen an ice skater do a backflip before. And not only does he do a backflip, he lands it on 1 foot, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I look like a baby giraffe, you know, trying to walk for the first time when I put skates on. So this entire thing was just incredible to me.
I love the visual that accompanies that. So we also spoke with Brady Tennell on the show. There was the announcement of who would be on the U.S. Olympic figure skating team. Alex, tell us about the others who made it to the Olympic team. And some of the reactions to it.
Sure. So Brady Tennell was one of the women skaters who we interviewed a few weeks before the competition. She was great. It was a great interview. And she has been beset by injuries. And so she was coming back. And you had asked her what success would look like. And she said, you know, to be out there. But she skated fantastically. She was fifth during the short program. And she ended up getting fourth in the free skate, and so she ended up fourth overall. So she did not make the Olympic team, but she was named to the Four Continents Figure Skating Championships that'll take place later in China. But in terms of the women's field, there was Amber Glenn, who was number one, who was fantastic. Alyssa Liu, who I talked about before, and then Isabeau Levito was the third woman who made it. In terms of some of the other qualifiers for the Olympics, the champions, the national champions in ice dance were Madison Chalk and Evan Bates.
Incredible.
They won their record seventh national title. It's just beautiful on the ice. And they began their skating partnership in 2011. They started dating 6 years later, and they married each other in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had this beautiful performance to Paint It Black, this instrumental orchestral rendition. And I mean, I was just mesmerized the entire time watching them. And I mean, you know, Ilya, Amber Glynn, Alyssa Liu are big names. I mean, Chalk and Bates. In the world of ice dancing, they are as good as it gets.
Right. Legendary, it sounds like. So as we wrap here, Alex, you talked about how many people attended these performances. There's so many people coming from out of town. And what they say about their experiences, that gets carried to other places. What did visitors, either you know, fans or the athletes, have to say about St. Louis?
Sure. I talked to quite a few fans in the concourses between events, and they all had great things to say. I talked with one woman from Philadelphia who had always wanted to see the figure skating championships, and so she had never been to St. Louis either, and so she wanted to cross that off her bucket list. She's actually heading to Milan to watch the Olympics, and so it was kind of like scout out the talent. And then so many people I talked with commented on the old buildings and the brick of St. Louis and talked about the history that surrounds us. And so it was very positive reviews from fans, but I also had my ear on the press conference with the men who made the Olympics. None of them had been to St. Louis before. Ilya Malinin talked about wanting to come back sometime to experience more of the city. And Andrew Torgashev, I wrote this quote down, he said, "This arch, I really have no idea why, but it's cool."
Anything you want to add? Did you hear anything, Brian? Or
yeah, I think for the handful of folks, too, that were here maybe 20 years ago, they were just excited to be back. And, you know, one thing I asked them was what they thought about Emo's Pizza, and some of them really liked it, and they really liked being able to be back and experience that. I'm not sure if Ilya or any of the other folks had Emos while they were here, but
Well, there's future opportunity
exactly
when they come back here. Brian Munoz is STLPR's visuals editor, and Alex Hoyer is the show's executive producer. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.